What a glorious sound that was made this morning. Praise and worship to our God and our Father, the one who will bring us home. The Bible says, count it all joy. James chapter 1 and verse 2 is where we find that passage. James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That is the word of God. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's hard to do, isn't it? Please allow me to read a short story to all of us. Many years ago, a man was on his daily walk. He thoroughly enjoyed walking every day while carefully observing all that God had made in the woods around his home. It was on this particular day that he spotted a cocoon attached to a small branch, and he decided to take it back to his house. He loved butterflies, and he thought it would be an amazing experience to watch this one come out of its cocoon and fly for the first time. The very next day, he noticed that the cocoon was moving. He watched it very closely with great excitement. "This is it," he said. Unfortunately, he quickly became discouraged because the butterfly was making very little progress. After several hours, the butterfly was losing its strength and it couldn't go any further. The man, feeling sorry for the butterfly, finally decided to help. He grabbed a pair of scissors and he snipped the end of the cocoon so that the butterfly could easily escape. And so, the butterfly did easily escape and easily came out of its cocoon. The butterfly's wings were very small and withered, and the man supposed that he would have to give it more time before it would be ready to fly. This butterfly never flew. It couldn't fly because it is the struggle in the cocoon that forces the blood and the fluid from the body to go into the wings. The only way a butterfly can take flight is if it forces its own way out of the cocoon through the tiny hole. It is the restricting cocoon and the struggle to get out that makes the insect's wings ready for flight. How sad it is for this man to watch a part of God's creation, to see the butterfly trying to get out, to long for that moment when it would fly on its own, and thinking, I'm going to speed this up. This butterfly is not going to make it. Not realizing that going through that tiny hole is what allows the fluid and the blood within the butterfly's body to go out into the wings so that it can spread its wings out and fly finally. We realize that there are trials in our lives, and we realize that we don't like them. But you know what? We can start in the very beginning. We can start on day one of our lives and just think about how many struggles we faced as children to take the next step in life, as it were. Think about the kids when they're born, that they can't walk. We know that. We understand that. But then they begin to figure out that these hands have use, and they put their hands down. They can eventually kind of wobble up and they get onto their knees, and so that they're on all fours and they lift their head up. Their neck muscles aren't strong, and we watch them struggle, and it's painful because we want them to succeed. And what do? They get up and walk the very next day. No, that's not what happens. They struggle. They try to move the hand forward, and then their body weight shifts, and they don't have the presence of mind to keep themselves up. And so they fall. And we don't like to watch that, but it's part of life. And so they eventually gain the courage to walk like mommy and daddy. They find something to hold on to. They pull themselves up, and they take their first steps, again, with very little success. It's hard to watch them fall down and to fall and sometimes even injure themselves. But isn't it that very moment of the injury that it sustained on them that they realize, I can't do it that way. That hurt. And so they realize, I'm going to try this way. And their precious little minds, they begin to understand what it means to walk and how difficult it really is to walk like mommy and daddy do. It takes the same resolve and steadfastness of character, even though they are very young, to learn how to communicate, to tie their shoes, to put on their clothes, to learn their ABCs. It just goes on and on. It's not easy. It's hard. And they fail. Somehow, when we become adults and we come into trials or tribulations in our life, we say, well, I don't like this at all. I don't want to be doing this. This doesn't fit what I had on my schedule. None of this fits what I like or what I enjoy. And somehow we derail in our thinking that, well, wait a second. There's something here I can take. There's something I can learn from this so that I can grow, that I can be stronger, and that I can be better. What does James say about it? We know that the testing of our faith produces patience. And then we want patience to have its perfect work so that we would be perfect, as God has used these things in our lives to form us into what we ultimately should be. It really is a great process. It's a beautiful process. And the result of it is beautiful. But there's steps involved that we just don't like sometimes. He says the testing of your faith produces patience. Peter will tell us the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter has reminded us about our living hope, that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and it does not fade away, that we are kept for this promise of God, that it would be given to us. And then he says down in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We were tested by trials, sometimes trials of fire. But James says, understand, brethren, that this is a process that God's put in place for your benefit. That the testing of your faith, that you would be patient, and you would recognize when you're not patient and say, you know what? That didn't go very well. I'm going to have to work on that. There are people around me who need me to be patient, who need to see my steadfast love and dependence on God. That when I do enter into a trial, that someone would watch me and recognize, boy, you've grown a lot. There was a time when you weren't going to have any of this. And yet, somehow there's peace. You're in our class this morning in the auditorium. We talked about the peace of Jesus Christ, and those who have it are far superior in their development stages of what God has placed in our lives and understanding that there's a process going on. Yes, some of these things sting and they hurt and we don't like them, certainly, but maybe there's something else happening. Maybe there's something else going on that our faith and our patience would be tested and tried and perfected by the will of God. That's a good thing. Consider the trials of others and the patience that they have shown us in the Bible and the faith that they demonstrate. Look at James chapter 5. We'll go back to James, maybe just a page back from 1 Peter chapter 1 is James chapter 5. Look at verse 10, what James says. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. There's a time in Job's life when we, if we were one of his three friends, we would go and sit down with him and watch his suffering and his pain, and we would just have to ask the Lord, what's going on? We've always known Job to be a good man, a righteous man. There's no one like Job. Why is he suffering like this? What's God doing? Well, we know, because we have the perspective given to us by God, that God is doing something with Job and through Job. That Satan's involved too. And yet, God intended something greater for Job. James tells us to consider the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And we can just kind of stack our names up next to some of these prophets. How about Daniel? Where do you stand with Daniel? Was Daniel challenged? Did he have trials in his life? You better believe that he did. He was trapped. He was tricked. There were rules set in place so that he would absolutely fail because people knew about his devotion to God and they knew that he would face the temple of God and pray to God and they knew he would fail. And so they set up rules and they had the king sign that this is the new law. You can't do this anymore just to get Daniel in trouble. Is that a trial or not? It's absolutely a trial. Did he pass that trial? Did he succeed? Was God pleased with him? Where am I in all of this? Have I been threatened to be thrown into a lion's den? Not as of yet. How am I doing with the trials of my life? What about Ezekiel? Ezekiel grew up in a place that was not his home. God calls him to be a prophet and to prophesy to the people. Remember what God asked Ezekiel to do in Ezekiel chapter 4? Some of the challenging things, the trials that God had bound upon Ezekiel, that he would lay on his side, that he would eat food that we would call disgusting as his sustenance, that he would be a living prophecy to the people about what God would do, that he would lay on his right side for a certain number of days, and then he would lay on his left side for a certain number of days, a long amount of time. Was he tested by trials? Did he come through brilliantly? Is he an example for us about those who spoke in the name of the Lord, how valiant they are? Mighty men and women of God who did what God expected them to do, that they were tested by trials. And when they came out stronger. They're saved for us to read about and to know about so that we can be like them. What about Jeremiah? The people from his hometown conceived a way to kill him. They said, we don't want to hear his words anymore. Let us put him to death. These are the people he grew up with. That's a trial. What about Moses? The trials that he faced and how he brilliantly came forth by and through the will of God. James tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. What I want to do with us here just for the next couple of minutes is turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's just consider a few. James asked us to consider those who spoke in the name of the Lord or those who lived according to the will of God, or even better, those who live by faith. Let's watch them and see how God himself, by his eternal will and his eternal word, will hold them up for Christians today and say, look at these people. Be like them. That's our challenge. Look at them, understand where they are, and be just like them. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we've got to start here. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I cannot be pleasing to God without faith. And when I come to him, I must fully understand that he will reward me because of my faith. Because I understand what he said, and I believe it with all of my heart. By faith, in verse 7, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. And he became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah is such a beautiful example for us about receiving the divine will of God. God told him by divine warning, these things are coming, build an ark. Noah understood what God said to him, and Noah did what he was told to do exactly. He used gopher wood and he prepared an ark. He covered it with pitch on the inside. And then he went to the outside of this giant boat and he covered it with pitch on the outside. It is exactly what he was instructed to do. All the while mockers and scoffers walking by and saying, look at this idiot. Building a boat? What a fool. And yet he's not finished. It took a long time. He continued to work because he knew something. He knew the truth of God, and he knew that it was coming. And so he moved, the scriptures tell us, with godly fear, with great purpose. He knew what was coming because he was divinely warned, and he moved with purpose. Consider the prophets of old and their faith and their patience with the word of God. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, that she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Remember the child of promise? Isaac? Of course we do. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Did Abraham and Sarah fully understand what was going to happen? That they could see the future and say, look, it's all going to work out. We know they struggled with that because they tried to produce a child on their own by their own means, and Ishmael was brought forth from that. God says, this is not the one. Isaac will come, and I will give him to you when the time is right. What came from that? What came from their faith in the word of God? All nations have been blessed. You and I are richly blessed because of their confidence in the word of God. The Bible tells us not only to just consider these characters, but realize the impact that it's had on your life today. that because Abraham and Sarah were faithful and they believed what God had told them, you and I enjoy the rich blessings of God because they chose to believe. You see how big that is? It's not just a matter of me and you saying, I guess. He keeps bringing up all these verses and there's no way around it. I'll just have to believe. No. Remember the butterfly in the cocoon? Struggle out of this. Work your way through this, built and established on the Word of God, so that you might glorify God in a phenomenal way. That I can't tell your story. I don't know your future. Neither do you. That's the beauty of your faith in God. I know with all my heart that God is ready and eager to bless all those who will faithfully serve Him. He will do that in His way, and He will do it correctly. Because He's God. We are His servants. Believe in the process. Understand that trials are real, and yes, they are painful, but something great and glorious will come even out of this. There is not a soul in this room who's not tried right now by something. Think about your life and the trials you face today. God's word is here for you. Grab hold of it. Struggle through that, depending on the living word of God. Look at these characters of old that we are considering so that we would have the faith and the confidence to do the same. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham, we know who that is too. When he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God would be able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Consider Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. This is the same faith that the Scriptures bind upon us that we are to have. The faith that helped Moses in all of his trials. He chose not to live a life of luxury in Egypt. And he took on the sufferings that are in Jesus Christ. The reproaches of Jesus Christ he bore faithfully in leading God's people. Now, there's going to be an exception with Moses. Of all these examples, he's the one that was never tried. Are you listening to me? Moses never faced trial. I mean, I look through the Scriptures. I can't really find a good one to where he like really was tried. Does anybody know who Moses is? Any page you turn to, this guy got the worst of it. The Hebrew writer is not trying to finish chapter 11 and just trying to think of one more example. This is the Word of God. It is alive. It is for you. You think about Moses. I'm not going to give you a list of trials that he faced. You think about him. How many days would we get up one more morning and say, okay, I'm going to keep doing it. That's what God said. How many mornings did he wake up and think, here we go again? He had everything in the world at his disposal because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He forsook it. He left it. And then he entered trials. God did not applaud him as he came out of Egypt and say, you made the right choice. Good job. The rest of your life is going to be phenomenal. I'm going to reward you. It's going to be great. That's not what happened. It got worse. And then it got worse. And then when he finally caught his breath, it got worse. Why is he in Hebrews 11? For me. For us. To have faith under the greatest of trials. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is simply our turn. Understand that these trials, God's aware of them. Every tear that you shed, he keeps in a bottle. He saves that. He knows about your struggles. He is intimately involved in your life. We are tested, and we are to count it all joy. You know why? Because we can say, even in the darkest trial, I can't wait to see what happens next. Because I know my marching orders, and I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to keep moving forward, looking for that glorious city that God has promised to all of those who have faith in him. It's a very difficult challenge to count it all joy, but God has asked us to do it. Wait and see. Wait and see what he's going to do with you and with your life when you trust in him 100%. If you need to come forward and be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to acknowledge that he has died for your sin, that you are in sin, that heaven is not yours without him, there is a way that God has provided for you to be saved. We want you to answer to that call that Christ himself sounds forth. Please come forward. Please respond to the gospel and enjoy the blessings that God longs for you to have. Come forward while together we stand and sing.